Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, everyone. All power to the people. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. It's Tuesday, and if you've been following the show for the last year, you know that on Tuesdays here in the Empowerment Zone, we consider Tuesdays Blackout Tuesday, or perhaps Boycott Tuesday. And we emphasize boycotting on this particular day. But as you all know, any day is a good day to boycott, first and foremost. Here in the Empowerment Zone, we advocate boycotting stringently. And that's why we put emphasis on boycotting. And we'll delve further into that later. However, for now, on to the particulars. Again, welcome to the Empowerment Zone, everyone listening online, everyone calling in tonight. Humbly welcome you to the Empowerment Zone, and thank you for your patronage. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting us. And with that said, you would like to gain membership or just to support us, you can reach us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Leave your name and a contact number, and someone will get back to you expediently, I assure you. Also, if you would like to join us in our conversation tonight, the number to reach us is area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. And when you call, just press 1 when you would like to speak, and you will be entered into the host queue. Here in the Empowerment Zone, we operate under the Robert's Rule of Order, which means that whenever you've completed your submission, just yield. Just yield the floor or yield your time as to create fluid dialogue on this show, because that's what we aspire to do. Create fluid dialogue that's positive in nature, that's solution-oriented here in the Empowerment Zone. And that's what we're all about. So, again, we operate under the Robert's Rule of Order, and when you're done with your comment, statement, or question, just yield your time, and you will be allowed to speak. Again, I will, once you've muted your mic as to allow further dialogue, you will be allowed to speak again. I will let everyone know that their microphones are open so we can create fluid dialogue. This week, I didn't do a show last week simply because, and I apologize, but my work schedule got the better of my time. I'm really glad to be back in the swing of things full time after being off work for entirely too long, at least full time work entirely too long. So I'm back in the swing of things. So there's no guarantee that there will be an Empowerment Zone every Tuesday, considering my schedule, my work schedule. However, there will be times when there isn't a Tuesday night Empowerment Zone. Perhaps there'll be an Empowerment Zone on a weekend day, perhaps a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But that's yet to be determined. In the meantime, you got me tonight, this Tuesday, and it's going to be we've got quite a bit on the table tonight. If I may, I want to piggyback off of the last show on the 30th, on Tuesday the 30th. What I want to piggyback on is what I had originated, what the original topic was, which was the cancel culture that we've been ushered into. And the reason why I say I want to piggyback off of that particular topic is because it really all ties in together with the current events that we're witnessing right now. The past week has not been a slow news week for sure. Especially, I mean, not just in my part of the world, but throughout the country and in the world, from coast to coast, in fact. I see that there was another mass shooting in yesterday. More police shootings. We'll get into that. More police misconduct in a place that's notoriously in a place that's renowned for police misconduct and corruption. And we'll delve further into that in a little bit. Also, again, the reason why I say I want to piggyback off the cancel culture topic is because I want to discuss the proposal of the ending of or the abolition of qualified immunity with police officers and law enforcement, rather. Ending qualified immunity should be in the top of priorities. It should be in the top, near the top of the list of priorities. And the reason why I say that this is included in the cancel culture order is simply because this particular culture, and I mean this police culture, this misconduct, murderous, corruptive culture must be canceled. And with the abolition of qualified immunity in law enforcement, again, should be at the top of the list of priorities concerning our community. Because, again, at such a disproportional rate, black and brown people are continuously being killed in the street, and nobody seems to give a fuck. Well, I shouldn't generalize it by saying nobody, but you know what I mean. Last night there was a caller on Brother Melvin's show that made it painfully obvious that things like this isn't the last. We'll see more of it. And he's absolutely right. And this particular caller also mentioned the notion that we need to be more responsible for ourselves, us men. Men, the brothers, need to step the fuck up and be accountable for yourselves. And I appreciate that caller for emphasizing that particular point. And I want to add to that it's incumbent on us to lead the charge, to be the vanguard of this charge to abolish qualified immunity in law enforcement. If for no other reasons, civility. And it's not a pipe dream. You know, I was in a discussion earlier regarding defunding the police. And I don't want to go way off base. I just want to talk about this particular discussion that I had, and we'll continue the topics on hand. But this particular discussion that I had was regarding the defunding of police. And I think people use that term so far out of context, not knowing what defunding police really means. because when you understand that, I'll use this for an example. When you understand that the Chicago police are an entity of the city of Chicago, of the city government of Chicago, whereas, and they are funded, they're funded in a different way, unlike the, let's just say, for example, the Illinois State Police and their various departments. Totally different funding. They only have jurisdiction in the city of Chicago. They do not have complete autonomy. And that's why it's wise in a situation, an emergency situation, it's wise to not call the local police. Better off to call the sheriff. Simply because the sheriff is the real law. State law. Whereas city police don't have complete autonomy and only have jurisdiction and a certain level of legality and rights. They only have a certain amount of rights. Whereas state police, state law enforcement have a bevy of rights and laws that in order to better serve citizens, whereas the city police aren't really there to fucking serve you or protect you for that matter. Just trying to make the distinction between state and local and why it's wise not to call city police in a emergency situation. You'd rather call, it would be much more prudent to call the sheriffs for a bevy of reasons. Anyway, so again, without going far off base, baseline, we're going to discuss tonight. Before we get into it, again, if you want to join us in our conversation tonight, you can reach us at area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. And just press 1 and you will be entered into the host queue. And then I'll open up your mic. And we can go at it. So let's go. Before I discuss the that other issue a minute ago, this all ties into the cancel culture that I was that I originally had on the table a couple weeks ago. And the reason why I want to continue this is, again, to emphasize the abolishment of qualified immunity in law enforcement. And it's so important. It really has it really is a top priority on the list of shit that niggas need to get done. The top priority. And I know perhaps you may be thinking that this doesn't concern me. Well, I'm here to tell you that it absolutely concerns everyone in earshot of my voice, because we've seen cop killers walk, cop savages that have a badge and a gun to operate with absolute impunity. Impunity is Spanish for without punishment. That's what impunity means. And we've been watching this for far too long. So the priority list has been shortened and even more prioritized. This part must be near the top of priorities, ending qualified immunity. As Brother Melvin has eloquently said many times, we must create a new culture, a new norm. And it has to be forged by men that are thinkers, that are leaders, that are creators, that are motivators, that are advisors, and that have the skills and have the courage to understand that this shit is hard, that's going to make it known to everyone involved that, yes, anything worth having is worth working hard for, and it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, but that's one of our problems. We live in a microwave society where everything is so instantaneous. We push a button and it's right at our. We push a button and it's right there. And we expect everything to come so easily. But what we're fighting for comes at an enormous price. And part of that price is working hard to get there. There was a caller last night that emphasized how we're not there yet. We won't even, and I said that I would get back into the boycott aspect in the opening. This brother said that we're not even there yet. We won't even come together to boycott 3-4 major companies for a year. Just like in 1955, 381 days. We're not there yet. We used to be there, but we ain't there no more. And it was, please excuse me, it was so sad to hear this brother reflect that reality, that we're not there. And it sounds so simple to do. It sounds like an easy achievement to simply not patronize your oppressor for a year. And sadly, we're not there because of the divisiveness and the selfishness and the tyranny and the evil in the hearts of our people. Unfortunately, and you know, if you've been following the show, you know I hate to use this term, but that crabs in a barrel scenario seems to stereotype rather seems to fit our people so fucking well, and I hate that. So what we have to do in order to forge this new norm that will be considered a subculture in this country because of our blackness, it will be considered a subculture. And once we do get to that point where we begin to create this new norm, where we forge this new foundation, and we shift paradigm to an economic status rather than a racial status. Once we shift that paradigm, we will be considered a subculture. And that's fine with me. especially considering that, again, this country is going to look a lot like me and my daughter and my granddaughter by the year 2050. That's just 30 years from now. When the majority of this country, the overwhelming majority of this country, will no longer be white. But in order for us to fully, as Brother Bobby Seale would say, in order for us to fully seize that time, we have to first forge this new foundation. And that includes the development of multilateral communication divisions so we can build, so we can continue to build and create this new economic norm, to create this new economic status, to create this new culture that, again, will be deemed a subculture, because it's going to contain, this particular culture is going to contain some of the most savvy, some of the most wise, some of the most astute black people coming from all corners of this country that will be such a great influence and be so influential in building this new culture, this new norm. It's going to be a renaissance. But us brothers, we got to do this. It's incumbent on us. Like Brother Melvin was saying last night, everything starts with him. Everything behind him, he protects everything under his roof. We have to look at our world like that. We are the purveyors of our community. The women are the nurturers. Never take anything away from them, but it's our job to protect them so they can do their job. So I want to make it very clear that we have to put this at the top of the list with the qualified immunity. Because of what I've been seeing lately, especially over the, I mean, for God's sake, it was just Monday yesterday, and a plethora of bullshit has happened from Second Lieutenant Karan Nazario being pepper sprayed by a punk-ass pig in East Virginia, which historically, East Virginia, Richmond, Norfolk, I was in the Navy. I know about that part of the country. Richmond, Norfolk, historically been a hotbed of fuckery. And this poor young Army Corman, I want to say he's a military medical professional. Don't know if he's a doctor or not, but he's a second lieutenant, so he's an officer. More than likely, he's a resident probably on the base there nearby in Virginia. But who knows what capacity he's serving in. But the fact is, he was in uniform, for God's sake. And this punk-ass pig had no regard for his status as a professional. No regard for this man's status as an American. No regards for this man's status as a serviceman dedicated to protecting this motherfucker's rights. But I digress. That case is currently being investigated, I'm sure. I was reading a little bit about the the AG in Virginia, and the Attorney General said that this case will be investigated. And I see also that this punk-ass pig has been relieved of his duty, which typically, I mean, he didn't kill the brother, and you typically, even when you kill someone, you get a paid vacation. They relieved this motherfucker. They fired this motherfucker right quick. So I guess that's a good thing. He's no longer on the street. He's no longer considered a street soldier, race soldier, punk ass pig. So at least we got this punk motherfucker off the street. Also, I want to discuss a case up in Minnesota where young Mr. Wright was tragically murdered. There, I said it. Not an accident. Because I find it really hard to believe. No. I'm not surprised that they would issue a statement like they did. Nor am I surprised that she immediately resigned. In her words, in the best interest of the department, her coworkers, and the community, she resigned her. And so she's no longer a licensed race soldier either. What really bothers me is the fact that this punk-ass pig has 26 years on the force. And you mean tell me you don't know the difference between a goddamn 8-ounce taser and a 34-ounce service pistol? Get the fuck out of my face with that shit. And just because she yelled taser, taser, don't mean that she wasn't on some slick shit. And if you're looking down the nose of your fucking gun, the back of your hand, and what's in your fucking hand, you're looking at it. You can see the difference. That's not that you can tell. There's a distinction, for God's sake. Two of them. One of them is it's 8 ounces. The other, it's canary yellow, or international yellow, or safety yellow, whatever you want to call it. And her service pistol is 34 ounces and all black. And you got 26 years on the force. You mean to tell me you can't fucking tell the goddamn distinction? I call bullshit. So again, I'm not surprised that they would issue a statement like that. It was accidental. She didn't understand. She didn't realize that she had her service revolver, her service pistol in her hand. Again, I call bullshit. And this poor young man who was essentially executed for a misdemeanor warrant. Again, do you hear me? A misdemeanor, young Mr. Wright did not have to die. So again, we have a senseless killing at the hands of the Blue Lives Matter crew. That one caller last night, I was really intrigued by what he was saying. And I can't say that I disagree with anything that he was saying, but I want to make it clear with I want to make it clear that I understand I understand his position. I also understand that we all share his resignation. We all share his resignation regarding when he said that we ain't there yet, that we're not there as a people. Again, it's very sad. But I also want to point out that it really struck a chord in me. Because I don't know how old his brother was, but it resonated in me the utter anguish that is felt amongst us brothers, that we wear it, and it's tiresome. It's quite a burden to bear. And only a black man can understand. Other people can say they understand. That's bullshit. They don't. They don't fully understand. And how could they? I guess it's a measure of sympathy or whatever, but by saying that you understand, but you don't really understand what it's like to carry that, what it's like to carry that weight under immense pressure on a daily basis. And you have to develop survival skills from a mental as well as physical aspect and a preparedness aspect. Before you walk out your fucking door, you have to understand that you are a target and that you may not make it back home. So you have to enlist every skill that you have as a black man to make it back home at the end of the day. So I completely understand that brother's resignation. Because when he said, we ain't there yet, it felt like when he said that, man, it felt like he was resigned to his fate. He was resigned to his fate to such a degree that it sounded hopeless. And that was really disturbing to me. It hurt me to my heart. It tears my guts out to hear that, and to hear that from a grown man, and then to also understand that there's children that have no idea what's going on. They see what's going on in the world, but they just don't know how to articulate what they're feeling, and so it's. And so it's manifested in such rage and confusion. And that's why it's so important for us brothers to, again, serve as advisors, as mentors, as leaders, as creators, as thinkers, as motivators, as developers, to forge this new norm that we're desperately seeking. And it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in the form of a renaissance that we're going to look at it. We're going to look at these kids, man. We're going to be like, okay, you were listening. You did. You're watching. You are listening. We're going to see that happen. And it's going to happen much sooner than you can imagine. This renaissance is happening. But it's incumbent on us as the brothers to forge this new norm by, again, creating multilateral communication networks that will serve our community, that will help begin to build this nation, this sovereign nation that we so desperately see. I see it. I see the kids. Even in the most hostile environments on the south and west sides of Chicago, I see diamonds in the rough. Aspiring artists, aspiring physicians, aspiring engineers, aspiring researchers and scientists. Yeah, man, they're out there. And not only are they excelling in academics, but they're doing the same thing. They're employing the same survival techniques that I spoke about 5 minutes ago in their hostile environment, and they're still excelling. So you don't tell me that it can't be done, because I'm witnessing these diamonds in the so-called rough excel and reaching tremendous heights in the face of utter hell, where their classmates and brothers and sisters and cousins and nieces and nephews are getting killed on a daily basis, where they're going to funerals every fucking week. And they're still excelling. It's a complicated world. Shit is real hard. But when you want something, when you have a deep desire for something, you're going to find a way to get it, come hook or crook. And what we desperately need is to create this new norm, is to forge this new culture, to establish a new economic status where Black Americans aren't the poorest, where the wealth gap isn't measured by such a disproportionate amount. It's going to happen. Not in my lifetime, but my kids are going to see it, and my grandchildren, and this generation, these millennials are making it happen. They're going to be the fucking renaissance. And you'll see. It's going to happen sooner than you can imagine. And I'm just talking about from what I see in my little corner of planet Earth on the south side of Chicago. We'll see it. It's going to come to fruition. And I hope that we can, that our children will be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor, because that's what it's all about. We want them to enjoy the fruits of our labor so they don't have to struggle, so they don't have to endure the same struggles as we did. I really want to, and I know I sound like I'm all over the place, but again, the topics tonight are the cancel culture that melds into what I want to consider the abolishment of qualified immunity. The other topics are concerning the police misconduct in Virginia, in East Virginia, as well as another topic, as well as the murder of young Mr. Wright in Minnesota. I also want to discuss if you're not aware, the Johnson & Johnson vaccines that we hear on this show, you go back to the archives, you heard me say, stay away from that one, as well as the AstraZeneca vaccine, because they're highly questionable. And as we see, they love to pan it off. I've been watching this shit on the news. They love to pan it off as, you know, they say 0.1%, you know, less than one in a million. There's 7.5 million people that have gotten this Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and only one has died, and six have been gotten this severe side effects from it. So, yeah, 0.1%, less than one in a million. Well, still, we said here on these airwaves to stay away from that shit because we didn't know. We just didn't know. And now we're seeing that this shit is basically poison. I'm not here to shit on anybody that's been compelled to get the vaccine. That make me a hypocrite. And I'm not that. What I am going to say, though, is that I warned you. Those particular brands with that one shot shit and that AstraZeneca that was compromised, to my knowledge, however many batches they have of that shit, it was compromised. And I warned you, stay away from that shit. But I digress. Here in Chicago, over, they say 700,000 doses have been shelved, paused. And that's the only version available to the city of Chicago right now. I guess Pfizer's going to step in. I understand that at the United Center, the governor of Illinois said that he would ship 50,000 doses of the Pfizer version to the United Center where the Bulls and Blackhawks play. They have a mass vaccination set up there at the United Center. 50,000 doses would be shipped ASAP to curtail any shortcomings with the remaining vaccine that they have at the United Center, which is not Johnson & Johnson. So since those two versions have been shelved, again, this is all about money, and they play hardball. These pharmaceutical companies, they play hardball, and they don't play nice at all. And when they're competing with each other with these vaccines and drugs, they ain't playing, and they certainly don't give a fuck about you and me. All they give a damn is about that green. So with that said, just understand that this is all a big game. And the only part of the game that you're involved in is being a fucking pawn. That's it. You ain't really even in the game. Understand that. And again, public service announcement from the Empowerment Zone. Please be careful. Research all the vaccines. And do not, again, can't emphasize more, do not fuck with that AstraZeneca. Even if they do release it again, stay away. The Johnson & Johnson. I don't know what to tell you, bro. It's tricky. As Run DMC would say, it's tricky, tricky. Just be forewarned. With that said, those are the topics on the table tonight, and I welcome everyone. Again, the number to join us in the conversation tonight is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just hit one, just press one, rather, and you will be entered into the guest queue, and I will see you on the menu board, and I'll open up your mic. In fact, before I take a break, I'm going to open up Mike right now, because I know this is my brother, and I'm always curious as to what kind of wisdom he's going to impart on me during the week. So what's good, Brother Melvin? How you doing? Peace to you, brother.
Peace, brother. Peace.
I've been listening online. I'm in the middle of some things, but I just wanted to call in to chime in. I don't know where I want to start. talking about the Dante Wright situation. And after I did my show last night, I got on CNN and I was watching the festivities, the protests, and everything that was going on. But on Don Lemon's show, Nyasha Wright, the aunt, who spoke today during the press conference. I don't know if you saw it or not, but that sister, last night when she was on Don Lemon's show, she was driving. She said she's in Tennessee. She just had picked up their mother. And she was going to be in Minnesota there at 11 o'clock this morning. And she said, nothing's going to stop her from getting there. So when I saw her take the podium, I was glad to see that she made it, because I'm a driver, and that's a long drive, and especially with that type of stress on you. Because you're trying to get the family and make sure that everybody's all right, and then you're not all right, but you're trying to get to your people. So I love her fire. She had that same fire last night talking to Don Lemon. And I think that the family should just sit back and let her continue to be the upfront spokesman. Like I say, I just like that fire. It's time for us to do something about this shit. It's past time for us to do something about this shit. Like I said on my show last night, hell, if we had took the proper action when Trayvon Martin lost his life, maybe some of those lives after his could have been spared. And I say Trayvon Martin is because it seems like that is the incident that really
that was what they call a watershed moment. You're right. Yep.
That has us, you know, where we're at right now. And right now is really, I mean, don't get me wrong, the protests, they bring attention, but now really is the time for some solid action, some in-they-face demands, some we not gonna quit, some give that bitch what she gave my son. You know, this is what we need to start demanding, like in this case with George Floyd. It shouldn't be a case. It should be a demand. We want exactly what Derek Chauvin gave George Floyd, because that has to be an equation. That has to be a part of the equation. They have to start knowing that there are consequences. And right now, this injustice system doesn't show them that. And in the case of Dante Wright, I mean, I brought this up last night, and I heard you touch on it a minute ago as well. I'm no cop, but I have weapons. And I know that my 9mm fully loaded with my eight shot clip, it adds weight to my weapon. With my 10-round clip, it adds a different weight. With my 15-round clip, it adds a different weight. I'm saying that to say this. There's different weight. There's different weight. And then with you looking at that video, you see those loud yellow tasers on their hips. So in order for you to mistake that for your service weapon, you have to be Stevie Wonder blind, Ray Charles blind.
And as long as she held that service weapon out, extended and aimed, does she not notice there's no yellow on that? So to me, and then her hollering, like I said last night, her hollering, taser, 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 that
bullshit
don't fly with me. That exact, that doesn't fly with me. That is just set up for the excuse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. Set up for, just like with, in the case, I mean, they're not really similar, but just the way they try to play things. And if you go back to the Botham John case, they tried to come up with every fucking scenario they could to get that bitch off for the murder she had committed. And I'm to this
mm-hmm.
point
and
with
and
it. So,
okay.
Exactly. So, okay, if it's a fucking accident, it's a fucking accident. But some accidents you have to pay for. And
yeah.
I'm,
you gotta be accountable.
They should, just like I'm a truck driver. And if I'm stopped in my personal vehicle, I get a bigger ticket because I am a professional driver. I'm held at
mm-hmm.
a higher standard. It should be
right.
the same way with these fucking cops. As soon
Bro,
as they break
and
a law,
bonded. You're licensed and bonded.
Right. As soon as they break a law, there should be no questions. Just like you, and this goes into that qualified immunity bullshit, there should be no questions asked whenever a policeman breaks the law, because they are there to uphold the law. So they should be held at a much higher standard. And like I say, in some instances, trials are not needed. And I'm tired of watching this bullshit facade of a trial that's going on with George Floyd.
Yeah.
We have all
really
saw
is.
The damn tape, and I don't give a damn what. Honestly, today, the prosecution obliterated the defense's first, special
Yeah,
witness,
the expert,
you
the
know.
Expert that they brought in from California. That motherfucker had
yeah.
It was justified. His actions,
right,
his
yeah.
Use of force was justified. Get the fuck out of my face with that shit. And then they did mention that the defense, he was a paid expert by the defense. So that should tell you something.
Oh, no doubt. But I love the way that prosecutor picked him apart, because
he dissected the shit out of him.
Yeah, I have said this from the beginning. There's nothing that the defense can bring to the table that's going to exonerate him after that tape. There's nothing that can be said after viewing that tape. So, like I say, to me, it's just a waste of taxpayers' money and a waste of a lot of people's time. And if there was anything fair about this system, we wouldn't even be going through these stages right now. Derek Chauvin would be in jail where he deserves to be, plain and simple. I'm all with abolishing that qualified immunity shit, because that is why a lot of these cops roll around here cocky and arrogant and doing the ignorant shit
uh-huh.
that they do, because they know that when push comes to shove, they'll 9 times out of 10 get away with it. And then too, a lot of that blame, some of that blame I have to put on us, because we won't come together and stay together long enough to change the shit. We'll come together and make some noise about it, but we will not come. We won't stay together long enough to change the condition. And make
yeah, we'll come
stop
together
happen.
And stand in line for the new goddamn Jordans. I bet you that.
We do all of the wrong shit, you know. I was talking to my brother earlier today. Matter of fact, that was my younger brother that called into the show last night, the unknown
right,
voice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my brother. He lives in Denver. Well, in Aurora, Colorado, actually. But
I've been there.
Yeah,
that's a hotbed of fuckery. That place is a hotbed of fuckery too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's,
definitely.
That's where Elijah McClain was murdered.
Yeah, that's where the gentrification is working 100%. And I spent a lot of time in Denver growing up, so I know the Denver area, Aurora and Boulder, and you know the little outlying areas, Colorado Springs, and I can just remember Denver used to be a very mixed city, and I'm talking about the city. But now when you go to Denver, it's totally different. Like Aurora used to be where the white people stayed. Now Aurora is actually where most of the brothers and sisters live. After being pushed out of Denver, they, you know, went to Aurora. So, you know, another thing, you know, I lost an uncle back in 95.
I remember you relating that story.
You know,
when we were talking about Elijah McClain, you related that story.
Yeah. You know, so I don't just, you know, it is personal for me as well, just like my cousin in Wolf City last summer. So it's personal for me. And, I mean, it just comes to a point where, yeah, we need to have these discussions, but these discussions need to be leading to our action.
Yes. Yes, 100% agree. Like I said, brother, and I've been piggybacking off of you when you said that we got to create a new norm, that it made me think of building networks, man, of multilateral networks, so we can fucking communicate with each other as unbeknownst to everybody else, for the purpose of building this new nation. Building this sovereign nation that we desperately need, because and also again to build a new economic class. That's what you were relating to when you said building or creating a new norm. And with that new norm is going to come a renaissance, and with that renaissance is going to come a new economic class. And again, probably what will be deemed a subculture, which is fine with me, you know, because that subculture will be economically stable, or at least generating revenue much more, and not only generating revenue, but bridging that wealth gap that needs to happen. So in order for that to happen, we have to be focused on creating that new norm. And I appreciate you imparting that, brother, because again, that's on the list of on the top five list of priorities that we need, that we,
you know,
must address.
Honestly, it boils down to our unity and our inability to, and you know, I'm taking this lesson and this analogy from an elder that I used to follow, and he used to do a lot of live videos, and he lived up in New Bedford, Massachusetts area, but he used to always talk about unity, and he said, no, we're never going to achieve 100% unity, even when the civil rights movement was at its height. We didn't have 100% unity, but we had enough unity to change the condition. And he always would use the example, the 80-20 example. And he was like, if you could just get 80% of the people unified, then maybe the other 20% will see the light. And that's my whole thing, because I don't want to leave none of my loved ones behind. And
no.
I did a live earlier just because there's been a lot on my spirit lately. And here's the thing. I don't want to have to leave my brother behind because he didn't do the right thing, or my grandchild behind because they didn't do the righteous thing. And we got to get on board with what is really going on and what really it boils down to. And I said this earlier, and I said this more than once. It's bigger than black and white. It's about good and evil. It's about right and fucking wrong. And when we realize that and start living more righteously, we'll reap more righteous benefits. But we have got to change our mindsets and start walking in a more righteous path. Just plain and simple, we got to stop following. We got to stop following the devil down the hot path, and that's what we're doing, because we will follow laws and rules that suit us, that fit us, that we And this is just my example, not trying to pick on anybody, but like the homosexual marriage thing now, you know, and that's something that I don't agree with. I don't knock anybody for what they do, how they live. And that's why I don't follow the Black Lives Matter movement, simply because when I say create new norms, I'm talking about new normals where we are raising men, where we are raising women, and we're raising leaders and nurturers, and not men who want to be what they not. And see, how can you claim to be a Christian when you are denying what the Most High made you? He don't make no damn mistakes. And see, that's where we getting it twisted at. We're starting, like it says, we're starting to live by man's law, and not the Most High's law. And his laws and commandments never change. And if you look at what's going on around here, like this Johnson & Johnson thing, and I spoke on this earlier too, because, see, when the Most High releases his wrath, it ain't shit that nobody's going to be able to do to change that. And all these vaccines and shit they trying to rush out here in the place, well, see, the Most High can touch that shit and curse it, just like he's cursed us. And see, it's time for us to break the curse. And see, white folks got a price to pay, but they don't feel like they have to atone. They never apologize. You can't forgive a motherfucker until that motherfucker apologizes. So until they can atone and apologize, they have done and the benefits that they have reaped, I have no forgiveness for them. And I realize, yeah, it's not all of them, but it's the majority of them that reap the benefits of that privilege. And they're not going to give that up. And we've got to realize that. And like I always say, we've got the power to reparate ourselves, free ourselves, and do what we want to do. We don't have to ask nobody's permission. All we got to do is just do it. That's it. Because I'm all with the gentrification. I'm all with building our own neighborhoods and within those neighborhoods having schools and having our own everything. But we got to do it.
Now, when you say, brother, you believe in gentrification, does that belief also encompass diversity? Is that what you mean by gentrification?
Well, when I say I believe in the gentrification, because I call gentrification just a new version of segregation. And I'm seeing it really firsthand here in the DFW area. You're seeing new suburban areas popping up all over on the outskirts now, where Caucasian people are packing up and they're building up new neighborhoods, new suburban areas for them. And in the meanwhile, they'll leave everything and everybody else behind with their leftovers. And that's why I say it. It's time, like I said a few weeks ago, It's time for us to stop rolling and rolling with what they give us, how they give it to us, when they give it to us, and start creating our own flow, plain and simple. Because if we start our own current and our own flow, the only thing that can stop that will be us. And I'm going to yield on that.
Know, my man, thank you, Melvin. You know, I love you, bro. And you know how much I treasure your input and the wisdom that you impart on us. Not just here on network, but on Facebook, and every time, man, you got something really poignant and you bring so much to the table, and I treasure that. I'm compelled to mention that when you described your definition of the difference between gentrification and diversity, especially in the DFW area, bruh, it's the exact opposite here. In the 70s, 80s, and 90s, whites were leaving the city and moving out to Northridge and in the outlying suburbs of Greater Chicagoland. Now, bruh, in my hood, in Inglewood, which is probably the most notorious neighborhood on the South Side, where Derrick Rose and a number of other people have had to endure one of the most hostile environments in the city of Chicago. White people are moving in, are buying these cheap properties and converting them, converting all these old schools, converting these old homes into condominiums. You know, $900 million condos in Inglewood. Yeah, man. Because my brother bought a property over there on 73rd Street, and that area is not the nicest areas and friendliest areas in Chicago. However, there's white people there now. There's an uptick in the surrounding area. There's an uptick in carjackings because of white people buying property and moving in over there. So the exact opposite has been happening. And there's pockets of gentrification in the neighborhoods that were considered predominantly black in Chicago. Shocked the shit out of me the other day when I saw this white girl walking down my block as I was going to my car. I was like, what the? But again, I shouldn't have been shocked because, again, they're gentrifying the city, as opposed to, 30 years ago when everyone, all the whites were moving out. And now that the city is building, it's gotten more, it's become even more of a tourist trap. And there's a lot of corporations that have stayed and remained in Chicago. Lots of whites are moving back into the city because it's such an easy commute from the South Side to say downtown or the Loop. That's referred to the Loop via Lakeshore Drive or another major thoroughfare. So it's the exact opposite of what's going on there, brother, in DFW. But I assure you, it's still part of the same game. The gentrification and lack of diversity and the movement of black people. I should mention also, and I am going to take a quick break in a minute. But before I do, I'm gonna mention something that I was. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. There's a situation in Robbins, Illinois, in the same hometown as Dwayne Wade, NBA Hall of Fame. Dwayne Wade, his hometown, bro, is like Flint, Michigan. Same water situation, same water crisis as Flint, Michigan. But that's not getting a lot of play. It's not making national news because for whatever reason, but I guess the reason is because it's not a slow news day, and there's a plethora of shit going on that makes the Robbins, Illinois water crisis irrelevant by a vast margin. So, yeah, we got a situation locally, man, that's gonna get uglier, and I'm gonna do my best to make an effort to get this some publicity, because there's a water system in the Chicagoland area that's just as poisonous as Flint in eastern Michigan. With that said, again, thank you, Brother Melvin. Really appreciate you imparting everything that you have. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to further delve into the topics at hand. And again, if you want to join us in the conversation, the number to call is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just press 1, and you'll be entered to the host queue. I hope you would be inclined to join us in the last, 30 minutes of the show, create some fluid dialogue. You've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Please stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books and history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's anyone who ain't got cash. Poor white that they call trash.
Body camera and dash cam video of Tuesday's shooting. Police say that Keith looked Lamont Scott did have a gun in his hand when an officer shot him. A new picture of the scene shows something at Scott's feet. A source tells our Charlotte affiliate it may be a gun, but people in the neighborhood say that the father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in plain clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers were there. The department is under increasing pressure to release police videos from the shooting, but the police chief says they will not do that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real, but not it! They fuck whoever can't fight back! But now we gotta change all that! The people have had enough! Right now it's them against us! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no lives matter! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor!
Peace. Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Peace and welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. If you've been following the show, you'll know that tonight's topic we've been discussing to no end the abolishment of qualified immunity, as well as a couple of other current events such as the historically Eastern Virginia police corruption and what happened yesterday with young brother Karan Nazario, who was pepper sprayed by the punk ass police while he was in uniform serving his country. Also, the topic of cancel culture and how I want to tie in the end of qualified immunity with this cancel culture and how important and how much emphasis that we're putting on abolishing qualified immunity and canceling this particular culture. And what I mean by culture is this culture of murder, this culture of civilian sedition, this culture of savage and brutal, savage and brutalizing the community in which they supposedly serve. And so with this cancer culture that we've been ushered into, I believe that one culture that must be absolutely canceled as soon as possible, and we have to make every effort to collectively make this happen, is the culture of police brutality. That's the culture that needs to be canceled. Fuck all this, all the rest of this shit. But what this polarized microscope, under a microscope, everything you say, everything you do, there's a hot mic, there's a camera every fucking where, and everything you say from it could be from 1985 that can kill your career presently. That's not the cancel culture I'm talking about. Fuck all that. I don't give a damn what some celebrity did 35 years ago. I don't give a damn about Paula Deen calling somebody a nigga in 1982. That has nothing to do with me. And in the overall scheme of things, has nothing to do what we're prescribed to do. That cancel culture, I'm not interested in. I'm interested in canceling the culture of brutalization, the culture of murder, the culture of terrorizing families and terrorizing communities. That's the culture that I'm interested in canceling. If you want to join our discussion tonight, the number is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just press 1, and you'll be entered to the host queue, and you can join our discussion tonight. Hopefully you will. I really appreciate everyone that's listening online. I also want to give a shout out to my man, Big Dave out there in L.A. I don't know if you're on the road right now. He's a truck driver, much like yourself, Melvin, and he's a young soldier who's really about it out there in L.A. And it's my people. I want to give him a shout out and make sure that that he stays safe and as healthy as can be when he's out there on the road by himself in his rig, especially out there in the western states. Being a black man, truck driver out there in the western states, I'm sure you have to endure much more than other drivers, and you have to enlist the bevy of skills, survival skills that you have in order to make it back home from your haul. So big shout out
now.
Big shout out to my man Dave, and as well as you, brother Melvin, because I know how dangerous and I know the risk involved in being on the road like that. Me being a road warrior over the years, and doing games and events around the country, and driving from all points around the country. I know how difficult it is and the risk involved being a black man driving. Especially in driving in areas where there's a short distance from the highway is a fucking sundown town. So, again, shout out to all the brothers out there, especially you and my brother Dave out there driving. Also, with that said, particularly I want to again emphasize patronizing the black businesses on Blackout Tuesday, and not just Tuesdays, but throughout the days, months, and years. Please patronize black businesses as much as possible. Also, please be aware that these black businesses struggle without your support. And it's quite an undertaking to start a business, and to be supported by your own is so very encouraging. So again, we emphasize here in the Empowerment Zone to please patronize all black businesses, particularly on Tuesdays, but any day is a good day to patronize black businesses. And also, any day is a good day to fucking boycott and to keep your money in your pocket, not contribute to the demise of your community. Do not pay your oppressor. Fuck that. Be kind to your own. Like Brother Melvin always says, we need each other. And these black businesses these black businesses desperately need our patronage. So please, I can't emphasize more how important it is. Because once we build up these black businesses, they will spawn more. They will inspire more people to start being entrepreneurs, to start their own businesses, and to start their own services where they can provide for the community that desperately needs a number of services. So when we contribute and when we patronize the goods and services of our own, we build the community. And there's strength in that community. As I mentioned earlier, diamonds in the rough in the most hostile areas of Chicago are shining, and they're excelling in a bevy of different occupations. Again, engineering, science, law, medicine, arts. We need that. And these kids are enduring utter hell. Can you imagine being a 13-year-old that is a top science student that has the opportunity to go to one of the best schools and have to go to a funeral every fucking week and still be able to focus on your studies? You know what kind of intestinal fortitude you have in order to do that? We got that. That's in us. Our ancestors went through so much more, and they overcame. They became inventors. They became creators. They became physicians. In the face of utter tyranny. And they overcame. So you can't tell me that it can't be done again. Brother Melvin, you said earlier, that was your younger brother that called and that offered so much levity. Man, you know, these kids now, I'm seeing it. And again, there's going to be a renaissance. And it won't be, sad to say, it won't be in our lifetime, you and me, brother. But our children, our grandchildren will reap the benefits and be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. But like you said, and like I've said, we have to do it. We have to be the ones to forge this new norm. We got to set this foundation. Just like setting up forms. When you're pouring concrete, when you're making a driveway, you're making a goddamn sidewalk, or you're paving a street, you got to set the forms. You got to put the lines out. You got to put the chalk out. You got to set the foundation. You got to set it up in order to build that foundation, and then you can build up. That's just how it's done. Everybody else has done it that way. It was done long before. It was done in a spectacular way in various countries in Africa, long before the Europeans were taught how to build, how to be hygienically sound, how to cook, how to use spices and shit. We were doing that long before then. You mean to tell me we can't do it now? I refuse to believe that. And I'm seeing these diamonds in the rough in my neighborhood that are aspiring to be more than what they're surrounded by. And the intestinal fortitude that it takes for these kids to go to funerals every goddamn week and to see their cousins and classmates and shit killed and still be able to focus on their studies. That takes a tremendous amount of fortitude. And these young black kids, they got it. They got it. And it's hard to break them. And yeah, do they suffer from some measure of PTSD? You goddamn right. But they're still focused. And it's hard to break them. They're tough as nails. That old adage of what don't kill you, make you stronger? I believe that. So I'm saying that in our lifetime, brother, we're not gonna see it. But my children, and for sure my granddaughter, my grandchildren, my grandson, all my grandchildren will see. Man, I got 11 grandchildren. God bless them. And I know that they will see a day past the year 2050. Where they will be the majority in this country, and they will have a say, and they will have their foot thoroughly implanted on the culture. With that said, I'm going to open up the mic since we've got roughly 20 minutes in the show. I see my brother. My brother's welcome to the show, brother man. Peace to you. Glad to see you.
Hello. going on, bro?
How you feeling, man? Thanks for checking in.
I'm just listening, man. Sorry.
Oh, you good, bro? Stay soon, man. You all right?
Not really, but sorry. What was the subject matter tonight?
We talked about the ending, the abolishment of qualified immunity, as well as emphasizing patronizing black businesses, not just on Tuesdays, but here in the overall cancel culture and the. What we define as what's important in this cancel culture, and the most important thing in this cancel culture is canceling the culture of brutality, police brutality, as well as the other, Derek Chauvin and the case with Kalon Nazario in Virginia getting pepper sprayed, as well as young Mr. Wright being murdered yesterday by the punk ass 26 year veteran that don't know the difference between a fucking service weapon and a fucking taser. That's what we've been discussing tonight, brother. So welcome to the show.
Well, I'll touch on a couple of those things. One, I don't believe that the woman made a mistake. I think that she did exactly what she set out to do. One, he didn't seem like he was so rambunctious that the taser was even necessary. But once again, this is, I'm starting to think that to hear a person say they've been a cop for more than 20 years, it doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. It makes me wonder exactly what version of this person am I going to get? Because this person has different versions. You've been doing something for 26 years, then you have different versions, And, here's my thing about the qualified immunity. I always had a problem with it. Hold on one moment. All right. I always felt that qualified immunity was racially motivated. My reason for thinking that was that qualified immunity is something that pretty much 90% of the departments in New York, small and large, have some form of it for their officers in case of a situation. What they have, they get so many chances to get their story straight and all of these other things that you would think, why would they need qualified immunity, considering a lot of them have committed crimes after they became police officers and still had a job. So I always thought that the qualified immunity had a racial overtone, and I guess we see it pretty blatantly now. Because when we see a video like what happened to George Floyd, where it's pretty cut and dried, I couldn't have been the star of that video and still been free. And there would have been no question of if I was going to be convicted, it'd be a matter of when. And what we're looking at, I'm not convinced that he's going to get convicted. So I don't even think cops need qualified immunity because, hell, especially when they were killing us, we were really more of a commodity and a stock. That's why people have to tell themselves that black lives matter. And if we matter, then I guess you wouldn't have to say it, would you?
Word. That's funny what you just said there with the burden of proof is definitely on the prosecution. But in this case, it is sorely it lies at their feet. And so with that said, I think that they've done a pretty bang up job at dissecting the defense. But what I think is going to be so important, and I know from a legal standpoint, it's not the most prudent thing to do. That motherfucker's going to end up on the stand.
That's how you know they're worried. If he touches the stand, then they pretty much know they haven't changed anyone's mind about his innocence or guilt. So,
but not taking a stand is an admission of guilt. Because if you're not guilty of something, you'd be killing motherfuckers to get up there on the goddamn stand to prove your innocence. So that's an admission of guilt by not taking the stand. So it's kind of a double-edged sword for the defense, in my opinion.
Well,
that's just what I think. I think it's a double-edged sword. And still, the burden of proof is incumbent on the prosecution. But for him to take the stand, I think that it's a necessary evil. They got no choice.
Personally, I want him to go up there because then he opens up a door.
Oh, yeah.
Because in court, there's a rule. If you don't want to talk about it, don't bring it up. And everything that I want to ask him, you know, that I would ask him, yeah, I would be glad to get his ass like that. Because, for one, then they get to ask him what he was thinking when he put his hands in his pocket while he was, you know, kneeling on what was really a citizen who wasn't really even a decent suspect yet. I still don't know if the counterfeit 20 was counterfeit. A few things I need to know if any of this, you know, there's no credibility in it to me. It feels like this guy, he knew who George Floyd was, and he treated him like he didn't know him. And George Floyd allowed him to treat him like he didn't know him, which made no sense to me. And 10 minutes later, he's dead. And then this guy is protected and allowed to leave the jurisdiction awaiting trial. See if that qualified immunity give you. Qualified immunity equals nothing more than the benefit of the doubt and a get-out-of-prison-free card.
So, brother, if that's going to be your question, what the fuck do you think is their answer going to be? How are they going to justify letting him go free?
Well, see, there are several that they didn't justify. They just let him go free. We all saw what happened. See, Minnesota's a bit of a hotbed for this shit. No matter how cold it gets, they still find time to warm they cuckles with hate.
Yeah.
Philando Castile was shot by what appeared to be a pretty cool cop who basically just wanted to, you know, do this simple stop. And as he's talking to Philando Castile, and Philando Castile tells him, I am a gun, registered to own a gun, and I do have one in the car. And the next thing you know, 60 seconds later, he's dead with bullets in him, dying in front of his family. Now, that cop, he wound up being basically acquitted of the murder and given $47,000 in back pay.
Yep. He got more money, too. He got more money from Police Benevolent Society up there in Minnesota. Yeah. I'm not sure how much it was from the Benevolent Society, but he got a nice windfall.
It sounds like a bounty to me.
Oh, and incidentally, by the way, the shooter in the Jacob Blake case has been back on duty for 2 weeks now.
Well, the problem is a whole lot of cops that have gotten away with murdering us and others are still police officers to this day.
That's why we know. She'll get a job somewhere. She's gonna get a book deal, probably a movie deal. And she's going to get paid an exorbitant amount of money to tell her side of the fucking fucked up story. Especially, well, and we still don't even know. This appeals case is still pending, bro.
You see, the thing is that we have been okay with being black and never truly being given the benefit of the doubt, so much so that we don't even give it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even give it to each other, you know. Yeah, we don't give it to each other.
I like the answer, your answer, because I firmly believe the same, that with the burden of proof being on the prosecution, man, I mean, and the tape is so cut and dry, like you said, they've manipulated this. I don't know about this jury, man. I don't know about this jury, but what I really believe is that they're going to put this motherfucker on the stand, and therefore they're just going to shred him. But I don't even know even then, if the jury will provide a conviction that will give him the maximum, which I believe is 25 to 40. So, yeah, good luck with that.
Amy Klobuchar used to deal with him a long time ago, and she chose not to, and it led to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When she was the district attorney before she got handed the U.S. Senate, because remember how Amy Klobuchar became senator? It was because Al Franken played some silly prank on a chick back in college, and it cost him one of the better fighters that were for us in the Senate. Cost him his seat because them punk ass Democrats wouldn't stand behind him. I'm watching how Trump led an insurrection on the government, and most Republicans who he fucked with and talked shit about even to this day still say they would support him. So that tells me we have problems in our political system. But what this broad did was, Derek Chauvin has a pretty lengthy record of mistreatment of people, especially people of color. And they found time and room in their hearts and wallets to keep this fucking cracker going. And he should have already not been a cop, and George Floyd probably would still be alive today.
No doubt.
He should have not been a cop from the first serious infraction. But there's several departments that have quite a few officers who pretty much, to the untrained eye, you don't have to do a lot of research to realize this person has an issue with other races. Him having a Chinese wife or what Asian wife does in no way mean that he's progressive and a fun guy to be out with.
No.
That's what that means.
Not,
what
not
he like
by
to
any
fuck.
Means. Not by any means. Right. Just like a lot of white men that marry black women. You know, that doesn't mean that they're not racist.
I don't care who marries who. It's just that the appearance that because he has a wife that's of another race doesn't mean he's not a racist.
Yeah, but see, that's whole perception. It's the perception that we're guided by.
Realistically, bro, on a plantation, every slave owner pretty much fucked their slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And offered them out as to their guest as something to do when the conversation had got boring.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, seeing anyone fucking another race, that's on them. You know, how they deal with that or what they do, that's their business. I'm not here. What I'm fighting for is everybody to have the right to self-determine which way they want to go in their life. You know,
police
are not allowed to just arbitrarily end our lives and not be held accountable. I don't care how long they've been cops, and I don't care how long the department has been letting them get away with it. We have a right to survive and a right to protect ourselves. This is why I tell anybody, be prepared to deal with whatever. You don't know what version of that cop you're getting when they get behind you. You really don't.
You don't know if that cop didn't get no ass that morning or the night before. You never know, he's getting shit from his partner or something. You just never know. You don't know, like you said, you don't know what version you're gonna get.
Yeah. So I want them to be just as unsure of what version they're gonna get.
Heard up. Yeah. So again, thank you, brother. So we got only a couple minutes remaining. Time goes by so fast, man. And thank you again for checking in, brother. Because I was sure hoping that you'd call in. And the main reason why I was hoping that you'd call in because I saw that video of that cop that got killed in New Mexico.
Down in southern New Mexico.
How the fuck do you not know the dude's getting out the jam truck with an AR-15? He ain't even have his hand. Oh my god! You know, he was on the force for 5 years. And
yeah.
You don't know. You don't take more precaution than that.
Yeah,
I mean, he
shot him
right in the fucking face, man. I mean, he was. Man, that was hard to watch, you know. But this is gonna sound crass, but I can watch that shit a million times because that motherfucker.
Yeah, it's a lot of desperados.
He smoked that pig.
Desperado. They really don't like the police, and a lot of them, you know, when they get the chance, man, they don't really have to. It can be on anything. They go at these cops out here. Yeah, they go at these cops out here. So I was a little bit surprised, but not really. And there's been about four or five of those shootings. I mean, right now Albuquerque is on its 32nd or 33rd murder because my nephew was the 30th. So, it's going like that right now, you know?
Yeah, well, the police seem like, it looks like out there. And that's why I gave that disclaimer and a shout out to my boy that's driving out there because I know he drives through New Mexico, you know, out of L.A. and it's dangerous, man. And these police ain't playing. And what I'm really surprised at, Kevin, is how that police he seemed. I mean, in the video he said, "Oh shit," when he saw the barrel of that AR-15, but it was too late.
Right.
Was he not prepared? He didn't even have his hand on his gun. Like, he walked away from the from the passenger side down the side of the fucking truck, and dude was fucking loading the fucking chamber. How did he not hear him loading the fucking chamber? Oh, my God. Dumbass police. That's all I can say. Dumbass cop.
Well, see,
I'm not saying he deserved it,
nutshell,
but goddamn.
In a nutshell, here it is. Qualified immunity basically allows a cop to make an in-game decision and not be held accountable for his decision. When I feel like this is the worst thing you can do to a public servant, they should be the epitome of accountability. And I don't understand how you can expect us to feel safe around people that you have basically allowed to get a get-out-of-jail-free card if they make what is a bad call or if they make a mistake or if they were in fear of their life and they made a mistake, like the one we're hearing with this, her and the chief quit. And I'm wondering, is that going to be the end of it, or are they going to go ahead and put her ass on, you know, make her face the music? Because the way she's
there's a lot of pressure up there right now
at this point right now, no matter what.
Well, they've really put a lot of pressure on the police union up there, and their feet are literally at the fire right now, especially with all the with the protests. And then, from what I understand, some of the brothers from down here are headed up there, and they ain't coming to talk.
But
niggas from Chicago ain't coming to talk. When they go somewhere, they ain't going to talk, bro.
Yeah, but that's what they're talking about.
They said it on CNN that they were concerned about armed protesters coming from other states. Same thing that happened before. Their biggest concern was armed protesters coming from other states. And then I hear from my boy
was allowed to do it, and he shot two people, and they allowed him to do it, and then GoFundMe got him a goddamn enough to get a lawyer and bailed out. So it shows you where the country is. The scariest thing that people need to remember that happened in the past 6 months was that Donald Trump got 75 million people to vote for him, knowing his record. And what we better not do is forget that shit.
No. Because
75, that's one quarter of the population that decided that everything he wanted
again.
To do to fuck the planet up was okay.
And did you see all that money that he got with that CPAC? The first round of donations that he got for that CPAC for 2024? We got about 30 seconds, brother. And I hate to cut this short. But you know, this motherfucker, I really think that they're probably going to do something to him before he gets a chance to get on the ballot again.
I hope so.
But that's a discussion for another day. And I really like to delve into that with you. When we speak on off network. So with that said, brother, thank you again.
For
imparting your wisdom, and really appreciate you, and everyone also appreciate everyone that's listening online and has called in tonight to the Empowerment Zone. We here at the Panther Party Radio Network greatly appreciate everyone that supports us and has joined. Again, if you would like to reach out to us, join us, or support us, we can be reached at the Panther Party 1966@gmail.com. That's the Panther Party 1966@gmail.com. Just leave your name and a contact number, and someone will reach out to you in short order, I assure you. Again, thank you for everyone for tuning in. We greatly appreciate you. I want to thank Brother Melvin, Brother Kevin for calling in. You two brothers know how much I appreciate their wisdom and everything that they impart to this show and to this network. Our purpose is rooted in the people. All power to the people. Please be safe and vigilant out there. If you're traveling alone, keep your eyes and ears peeled. You know, you got a target on your back. And please try to travel in groups if at all possible when you're out there on the road. Just be careful. There's carjackers. There's other people. Just understand that there's a target on your back and be ultra careful. Be as safe and as healthy as possible. Please adhere to all the guidelines, safety protocols for this COVID mess that's going on, and understand that we here in the Empowerment Zone, we love you, and all power to the people. Peace.
If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on this because for the simple reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did, you're dead already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to repeat after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle and then be living. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Right about now, NWA quarters in full effect. Judge Dre resigning. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown and not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that dick cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on and thrown in jail. We can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape. The tape off the scene of the slaughter, still getting swole of bread and water. I don't know if they fagged or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, it can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop.
Silence, cause my identity by itself causes violence. So E would behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun in the badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here the rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keep looking in the mirror. And it's on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling off the eight, he'll be the one that I take out and then get away. While I'm driving off laughing, this is what I'll say. Fuck the police.
Jury finds you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit, motherfucker.